We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Shannon Cameron, John Ritchie with the 10-1 Birds preparing for the Tennessee Titans, what should be an intriguing game. Let's talk to our next guest. He does a tremendous job. You can follow all of his work on Twitter, at Shield Compati. Of course, also with The Ringer. He's been part of our show for, gosh, I guess the whole way, about 6 years or so. And we welcome him to the show, Mr. Shield Compati. Hi, Shield.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Great.
Shield, how was your Thanksgiving, man?
It was great. How about you guys?
Good.
Super.
Very, very nice. It was a no-stress Eagles day. Just sit back, watch other teams clobber each other and pick up the pieces. Birds get another win. So let's talk about that win, Shield. Eagles get another win, and it was resounding on offense. One of my concerns entering the game, you know, from last week was, were teams figuring something out with the Eagles and the RPO thing? And I know you've had a chance to study the film. I guess not. I guess the other teams aren't figuring something out, or did the Eagles have a counterpunch, or – you know, was what was done in the prior couple games not done most recently by Green Bay? What'd you make of how the Eagles are so efficient and spectacular with that attack?
Yeah, we had the conversation last week, and we referenced the Chip Kelly years and, you know, having a discussion about whether that was likely to happen again. And this team just has a lot more answers. I mean, the issue against the Colts, they were a little more vanilla with the run game. Like you mentioned, the RPOs, the zone reads. This game, the run game, was much different. I mean, it was less zone read. They really weaponized Lane. I don't think I've ever seen Lane Johnson pull as much in a game as he did in this game. I mean, they were running him. Tackle trap, yeah. Tackle power. This great, one of my favorite run schemes, which they call QB counter bash, where you have the guard and the tackle pulling for Jalen Hurts, and he can either hand the ball off to Miles Sanders on a sweep to the right, or he can keep it to his left. I mean, they were using that. In this game, they were using pistol. You know, pistol is a great changeup for when you feel like the defense has a beat on what you're doing. Because a lot of times when you're in shotgun, and the back's to the right, the zone run is going to the left. And so when the back's in pistol, now all of a sudden the defense doesn't know which side you're going to. So they had all these tools in their bag. Now, they weren't using them every week. And I would really credit Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach, because he is the designer, the architect of this run game, and he has so much experience with all these different schemes, and they really changed a lot of things up in this game. It was really impressive.
So, Shield, just to be clear, and I think I'm hearing you clear, but just to be clear, you're saying the Eagles probably did have concerns that defenses were getting a beat on them, and Sirianni, Steichen, and Stoutland had a counterpunch, and the counterpunch worked.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is that they've run a lot of these plays all season. But in that Colts game, you know, you go in with the game plan, you think about what you're going to be able to do. Sometimes you haven't practiced all these plays during the week. And so I don't know if that was the case, if it was bad play calling, or they just felt like, you know what, we're not comfortable going to them right here because we didn't practice them during the week. But after watching that film and the struggles you had in the run game, now you can go to those counter punches. So these aren't brand new schemes that they just installed last week, but maybe they needed to refine them and say, all right, let's get some reps in during the week with these and come back to them because we're going to need them.
Yeah, there's no question the rushing attack was incredible. Why is it that the standard drop back pass protection is so disparate? It's so much less incredible than the run blocking by the O-line, Shield.
Yeah, I would say some of the issues in pass pro, I mean, a couple things. One is, you know, the backs still struggle in blitz pickup. You know, Kenny Gainwell definitely had one or two reps in there that he got beat. I would say Landon Dickerson in pass pro has definitely taken a dip. I mean, if you're asking about who's kind of the weak link on the offensive line. Just in pass pro, I mean, he's doing a good job in right. the run game, but in pass pro, I would say it's probably Landon Dickerson. And listen, sometimes there are just plays where Jalen Hurts might feel a little pressure and he takes off. And I know people have different opinions on that. I'm fine with it because him as a scrambler is one of the biggest weapons in the NFL. I mean, that first possession, third down, he takes off, he makes three guys miss, and all of a sudden you have an explosive play that eventually leads to a touchdown. So I think it's probably a factor with kind of all those different things.
How well are our backup tight ends playing?
You know, I was impressed with Jack Stoll in this game. This is the first time probably I've watched Jack Stoll film where I said, oh, he looks pretty good as a blocker. Now, they're giving you nothing in the passing game, and part of that is design. You know, there was a low-volume passing game, and also those guys just aren't going to give you anything close to what Dallas Goedert gives you. But in terms of blocking assignments, I thought Jack Stoll, this might have been his best game as an Eagle.
Wow, okay. Other side of the ball, how well are we stopping the run?
It wasn't great, obviously, in this game, and there were, you know, a few issues. I think really one of the biggest issues has been all season long is when they're in their four-man front, they just haven't done a good job holding up when they don't have that extra body in there against the run. That 20-yard touchdown run by A.J. Dillon, that's against a four-down front. And Ndamukong Suh kind of, you know, the big hole opens up between him and Milton Williams. T.J. Edwards can't get there fast enough. Gardner Johnson is slow to react, and all of a sudden you have a 20-yard touchdown. So that was a big one. And then the Packers really hit him with perimeter runs and did a good job where they said, we're not going to run right at Linval Joseph when you're in those five-man fronts. We're going to stretch you out a little bit, get to the outside. And sometimes they had issues setting the edge, or they have issues with their defensive back tackling. So it was certainly up and down. It was not nearly as good as it was the previous week against the Colts.
So Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, did they take a step back in their second performance, or how did you evaluate their play?
Yeah, I think Joseph did. You know, he was really dominant in that Colts game. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I watched it. And in this game, I would say he was competent and okay, solid, but he was not great in this game. They definitely had some times where they moved him. Now, if you look at the numbers, when Joseph was on the field, the Packers ran 17 times for 71 yards. So it's, you know, 4.2 yards per carry. It's not like they were killing them. They had one 12-yard run in there. Sue had one very nice pass rush that led to a sack in there, but there were some issues, I would say, in the run game where he didn't hold up as well.
How good is our pass rush?
I wouldn't say it was great in this game. Now, they came up with some high leverage sacks there on stunts, with Hassan Reddick in there. I really like when they use Hassan Reddick on stunts because he's kind of, when he gets in space, he can really be explosive and create some chaos in there. And so I thought that was a factor. In terms of one-on-one pass rush in this game, you know, I would say they got handled for a lot of the reps. You know, the Packers offensive line, I would say if we're just looking at pass rush reps one-on-one where they didn't have those stunts and twists, the Packers got the better of them in this game.
Ashil Kapadia with us here. So, Ashil, one of the things John and I were talking about in the first hour is what concerns you the most that could prevent them from winning a Super Bowl other than just a rash of injuries. What would be your number one? What is the number one concern with this club?
It's probably going to sound nuts. I still have concerns about this defense against really good offenses. I mean, you know, when they face a team like the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, when they face a Kyle Shanahan schemed offense, where it's just a heavy game plan about, hey, here's what you do.
I gotta present a wishbone, and I need you to break it because you're literally talking what John and I have talked about, but you haven't specified yet. John thinks it's the run defense. I think it is the lack of a strong pass rush, even though they're third in sacks. A lot of them were against Carson when they got nine. Do you think run defense or lack of pass rush is a bigger deal?
Can I choose an option C?
Sure.
I mean, I still wonder if sort of schematically the coaching, the wrinkle can match those offenses.
The Gannon maybe, answer. Yeah, the Gannon answer. And that's, I got it. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, because the teams we mentioned, I mean, the 49ers, it's going to certainly be more of the run game. You know, that's what they want to do. They don't want to make Jimmy Garoppolo do a lot of things. The Cowboys really are multidimensional, where it depends on the week what they're doing. And so there I would say it's probably going to be more of the pass defense and stopping CeeDee Lamb, and Dak Prescott is so good at the line of scrimmage. So it really depends on the opponent there, how I would answer it. But, you know, I would kind of choose option C. Just can you match wits with some of these great, you know, really good offensive teams in the NFC?
How much trouble are we in with the injuries in the secondary?
You know, I'm curious to see what happens there at safety, because that Gardner Johnson had the high interception total. I didn't think he was playing at like some type of elite level. You know, I thought he was solid, competent. I certainly would not have described him as sort of a strength on the team. Now, I don't want to say Reed Blankenship's going to come in and play terrific, but man, that interception was one of the best plays the Eagles have had by a safety all season long. I mean, that was a terrific play. So let's get a bigger sample before we crown him, but that's going to be a factor. And I would say not having Avante Maddox has been a bigger factor than not having Jordan Davis. I mean, listen, Josiah Scott is battling out there. He plays with high effort. He's physical. But if you look at really the big plays they've given up here over the past 3-4 weeks or so, a lot of them have been just kind of him getting beat there. So that is a factor, but I guess you're going to get Maddox back eventually, and I think that'll be big for the playoffs and the stretch run.
All right, Shil, a couple more here. Malcolm Jenkins, we heard his interview with John Clark now, two interviews. I don't know how much you got a chance to see him play last year. Do you think he can still play? By the way, he's not even a free agent. He's technically still Saints property, so it gets really funky. They'd have to cut him. But if he were available, do you think he can still play? Do you think Howie Roseman should go for him?
Man, I was really intrigued by that clip that was circulating.
Yep.
I'll be honest. I did watch him last year. You don't want him as the free safety in single high safety looks, but that's really been the case for a long time. He played a lot of snaps. He's still kind of an iron man. He can still play in split field safety coverages, which is what the Eagles major in. So I wouldn't have as much concern there. We've seen Malcolm Jenkins destroy run games as an Eagle. He was still doing that with the Saints last year. He is a physical player. You can almost look at him sometimes as kind of like a dime linebacker, where you get him up there and he can really hold up and is so physical. So he helped you there. We know the leadership. We know the intangibles. By the way, how about special teams?
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins played special teams, still played special teams, can help you there. I would at least make the call. You know, like you said, there are some hurdles. Would the Saints just release him and then you sign him? He sounded in that clip like he kind of, I don't know what you guys thought.
Yep.
I thought he sounded like he kind of wanted to play. He
yep.
kind of was throwing the carrot out. Hey, Howie, give me a call. And so I would absolutely look into it and was intrigued by the idea for sure.
And do you just, if Gardner Johnson's going to come back, and hopefully he does, you just figure out who your starters are down the road if you're fortunate enough to get Malcolm? Like, just figure it out once you've had him for a couple weeks?
I think so. I think it makes you more versatile.
And yep.
remember, Jenkins has a relationship with Gardner Johnson. They played together with the Saints. So it's not like you have two random guys who are battling it out. Like, you know, they know each other, and I think they would understand the situation. But yeah, you know, what we were just talking about with the Cowboys and the 49ers, it kind of gives you more options there. Now, I don't know what kind of shape Jenkins is in. I know when I covered him, when I was covering the Eagles full time, that he was one of the most fine-tuned athletes I've ever seen. And I don't know that anyone was more prepared to play physically on a Sunday than Malcolm Jenkins. So I would absolutely make the call.
Shil, two other quick hitters. San Francisco, Dallas, Minnesota. Which team do you think is the greatest threat to the Eagles?
I would, I mean, Minnesota, throw them out. I'm not even considering them. I think the Eagles would handle them easily. It really comes down to the other two. I think it's a three-team race in the NFC. I think right now I would probably say Dallas. I think it's close between Dallas and San Francisco, but Dallas has the better quarterback with Dak Prescott, and Dallas has a defensive player in Micah Parsons who can just absolutely wreck a game and take over a game. And so the, you know, best defensive player in football right now, in my opinion. So the Eagles handled him the first time around, had a great game plan. Now the Cowboys know, all right, that's what the Eagles did the first time. What are they going to do the second time? So, man, I can't wait for that Christmas Eve matchup. That's going to be fun.
One more, Shil. Sunday night was the first Eagles game I've watched where I really thought, you know, Lane Johnson could make the Hall of Fame. We were there with Jason Peters for a bunch of years saying this is probably a Hall of Famer. We've gotten there with Jason Kelce. I know he still has a ways to go. But when you watch him play, do you see a potential Hall of Famer?
Absolutely. And it's been a 2 to 3 year stretch where I just watch and kind of marvel at it. And then you watch other teams and even the great offensive linemen, you'll see them have a little play here, a little play there where they don't hold up. And he doesn't have those plays. He's athletic, run game, pass game. I think he's been an underrated teammate throughout the course of his career, if you talk to players who have played with him. So it's going to be the longevity aspect of it. I don't know how. I know he said earlier this year that he only wants to play, I think, a couple more years, and so I think that might be tough. But if he changes his mind and wants to play longer and can continue to play at this level, then I think he would have a shot.
Shiel, excellent stuff, man. Love having you on the show. Thanks, pal.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Right, thanks, there Shiel. He is, Shiel Kapadia. Right on back to the phones. Let's talk to Wade right now. Hi, Wade.
Hey, what up, John? What up, Joe, man? What's up, man?
Hi, Wade.
Hey, what's up? Congratulations, man, on y'all new spot. You feel me? Happy
Thank
for y'all.
You. Thank you, buddy.
And my thrill is when the callers get through the WIP, when the line not busy, that's a good thrill. When you ring.
people can relate.
Yeah. When y'all was talking about when James took that good answer, he was like, yeah, I'm going to take off the kids. And you can't relate, Joe. Yeah. But, like, the only thing that I can get to you that, like, can relate from listening to y'all all the years is, like, how your mom loved you. Like, just think about how your mom loved you.
That's a good point.
Think about how you can love somebody the way your mom loved you.
That's like, very
with
nice.
A kid, with a kid, yo, it's crazy. Like, every day is a blessing.
But
every
is it day. Greater than the Eagles win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
It is. It definitely is.
How about this? I cried when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. I ain't cried when I had my son.
But those were tears of joy. So what you're saying is, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, you had tears of joy. When your son was born, you did not have tears of joy.
Because I ain't like saying like it was more creeped out when he was born.
Hey, Wade, great phone call, man.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
All right,
you got it, man. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Jeff.
Joe, I have to question my life choices when I agree with you too many times in one day.
Welcome to the highest of wisdom.
I know. Dude, the coming into his own absolutely drives me nuts.
That's brutal.
I can't stand it. And the other one is controlling your own destiny. It's an oxymoron. It's not even possible. Destiny is something that's uncontrollable.
That's pretty
yeah,
funny.
He's so, right about that. I've talked about that before.
Yep.
Okay, so the Eagles, real quick, special teams probably concerns me the most, but I have to hit on what Shiel was saying about the coaching's adaptability to these different teams.
I thought that was a big deal.
Yeah,
Shiel said that.
I didn't really think of it until he said it, and I'm like, you know what? That does make a lot of sense because we have talent, but we've got guys that are out now, and we're going to be able to adjust to that coming up in the next few weeks.
Some of it's personnel, and I think the bulk of what Shiel was saying was basic coaching. I mean, I'll tell you this. So I said in the start of the show, there's an answer I expected to hear the most today, and that answer is literally the name Jonathan Gannon. That's what I thought, and we'll see where it goes. A couple more hours, we'll see where people goes. But if I had to guess what people's greatest concern is, I think people's greatest concern, that's not mine, but I think people's greatest concern is probably Jonathan Gannon.
With the special teams, the field position is so important when you get into the playoffs. And these guys, the last few times, have been running kickoffs out of the end zone, like taking them out, knowing that just totally disrespecting our.
Well, you're going to see more of that. Yeah, you're going to because other teams are now effectively doing it. And so, you know, if Elliott can't get it really, really deep or through the end zone, then, you know, if it's five yards in, if I'm the other coach. I'm telling my kick returner, get your butt out of the end zone. Let's see what we can do.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think so. Jeff, what do you got on the Phillies?
I would like them. I think signing a hitter, specifically a shortstop, specifically one of the top two or three, is a little bit more important right now than the pitching because I believe they think that these kids they have down in the minors are closer than we think they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my thinking. I don't know. Our lineup is
I think
so
that's hopeful thinking.
Let's put it this way. They're certainly closer than position players in the minors to come up and be a prime position player. That's
but our
obvious.
Our hitting lineup is so lopsided with power hitters that we need somebody that can hit consistently and get on base consistently. I think that's more important right now.
So. Well, I'm very torn on it. I'll say that. Jeff, give me an answer here, man. What's a thrill?
Actually watching your kids perform. Both of my kids were in an art school and they played sports. So just the idea of watching them perform,
You got it. All right. Jeff, appreciate the call, John. I'll bring this conversation full circle. I don't know if I've ever told you this one. Fourth grade Penn Charter. Oh, it was one of the worst moments of my life. It is a school play. My point is, I don't think my mom was probably too... She probably didn't even know what happened. I mean, a lot of people in the audience were probably confused. I knew. My teacher, Mrs. Kalenian, knew. My classmates knew. So we had a play. Let's just estimate that the play was, I'll just say, an hour and 10 minutes long. I'm just making it up, but it's probably...
a long play.
Well, maybe an hour. We'll call it an... It was a pretty complex play. We would put on some great plays at Penn Charter. Every year, you'd have an annual play. And I had a few scenes. I wasn't one of the prime characters. I had a few scenes. Let's just estimate that it's 20 minutes into the play, and I'm to come out for one of my three or four scenes. And for whatever reason, when I get out there, I start saying the lines for like 20 minutes down the road. Like, I do a totally different scene. Like, sequentially out of order.
So it makes no sense? Like, you're replying to people with nonsense?
Well, so here's the problem.
So do people have to adjust?
Yes. So the other crew out there,
like 20 minutes
the other crew out there knew that I didn't know. And so they just start doing the scene that we're going to do in like 20 minutes. I mean, they did pretty good. Because at least for that moment, the audience wouldn't necessarily know. So we do the scene. We get off stage. Everyone's like, "The camera, you're an idiot." Oh, my God. John, I felt less than 2 feet tall. First off, I probably wasn't. I was probably only literally about 3 feet tall because I was in fourth grade. I felt like, to use a Frank Rizzo term, I felt like a crumb bum.
You
felt like a crumb.
You exploded the whole play. Like, so yes. You yourself shortened the play by 20 minutes?
So here's what happened.
They went back.
They went back. And then literally like 20 minutes later, we did the scene again. It was just horrendous.
And mom was in the audience.
Yeah.
Did she ever ask you about that?
I told her. I mean, maybe she sensed. I don't remember. But I'll tell you, Mrs. Kalenian, who was my teacher, man. I mean, she handled it like a pro because she was. But she clearly was not thrilled with little Joe D. I mean, I wrecked the play. I flat out wrecked it. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP.
Miller Lite wants to give you the best seat in the house for Sunday's game. So join Devin Caney and me at the Winston off 3rd Street this Thursday night at 7:30, where one lucky fan will win two club seats to Sunday's game, courtesy of Miller Lite. We'll be watching Thursday night football, enjoying $4 Miller Lites, $5 Vizzies, and $20 buckets. It's Devin Caney and me Thursday night at the Winston, and a chance to win tickets to Sunday's game. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.